Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fike Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fike lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, time for Mike Schaefer. He is back with us from Husker 24/7, joins us now. Good Friday morning. How are you doing?
Well, my quarterback of the future is J.J. McCarthy. I'm not excited about it, but I believe it was on this show 5-ish years ago that I complained about Justin Jefferson, so my track record is not spotless there. Yeah. So I have to acknowledge that there are times that things may happen and I may have an opinion, and that opinion could end up ultimately being wrong. And I think it's important for us to at least get that out of the way before I say I hated the pick.
But your other pick was a steal. So he doesn't fully understand, but little Hud last night, did he hear some words that you don't want him ever saying when that 10th pick was announced?
He couldn't even make it to the third pick of the draft. Oh. I think he fell asleep. And,
relatable.
Then mom took him upstairs and got him another bottle, and then he just went to bed. And then he woke up because we had a massive storm here in Lincoln. The storm got him a little bit around 1 in the morning. But no fear there, because dad thought the storm was going to get him, so he was playing video games and was right there on the spot.
Schaefer, the infant moment for me when it came to the draft was in the middle of changing Reese, getting him ready for bed, and he was not clothed yet when the Bears selected Justin Fields, and I forgot everything I was doing and got very, very excited and forgot I had a kid in my arms as well. But that didn't work out great for Chicago, so I don't know what you want to do with that, but you know, you always hope that maybe the kid can bring some luck to the draft, and it sure as heck didn't a few years ago.
You know, here's the thing. Like, maybe I should just take it as a good sign. Pretty much everything that I watch or root for since Hudson has been born is doing very well.
Oh, there you go.
The Guardians are off.
Yeah, yes.
Fantastic start.
Heck yeah.
Nebraska basketball put together a season to remember. Nebraska spring football is the hype train is off the charts and running, and I'm the one actually leading the hype train. It's quite possible that maybe Hudson is this good luck charm that I did not realize that I needed in my life until he was here and screaming.
We're not going to blame Hudson on the Beaver's injury, okay? All good things, because despite that injury, you're right. It's been surprisingly very good.
That is maybe, I certainly wouldn't call it a blessing in disguise, but it forces them to find out if they have any other talent on the team. They keep finding ways to win.
They're
like a real-life major league out there.
Hey, so when one of your teams goes into a slump, you're going to have another kid?
a slump buster is that. That's another way to call it a slump buster. Then
I don't think we're going to refer to Hudson's future younger sibling as a slump buster. So I don't know.
And for that, we're all better. You'll be busy tomorrow because it's a huge recruiting weekend. Nebraska got two recruits yesterday. So something or nothing. That there is this wave of pass catchers. Two guys commit yesterday. There seem to be a lot of wide receivers and tight ends on campus over the next couple of days. Something or nothing?
I mean, I think it's an extension of the – it's an extension of several things. It's an extension of the fact that Nebraska's coaching staff, when they came here, didn't love the wide receiver room, didn't love the tight end room, and are in the process of remaking both. I think it's an extension of having – a talent like Dylan Raiola that people are certainly interested in and want to play with. You know, when you're talking about a Cortez Mills or someone of that nature, the national level recruit. And I think it's an extension of where Matt Rhule's offense ultimately is going to go. I mean, I think I don't know how people view last year's offensive football, but I don't think that they should look at that as what Matt Rhule actually wants to accomplish on that side of the ball. I mean, I think, you know, we've written plenty about it. We've talked plenty about it. His second and third year at Baylor, they really used the play actions. They worked down the field. They attacked teams vertically. And to do that, you got to have good wide receiver play. And they had wide receivers that got put in the NFL. And that's ultimately what Garrett McGuire and Matt Rhule, Marcus Satterfield are aiming for here. And that's why guys like Jalen Lloyd and others that are on the roster right now are really tantalizingly exciting, because you think you have that quarterback in Dylan Raiola to unlock all of that. Mm-hmm. And so if you're recruiting at wide receiver right now, it really shouldn't be that hard of a sales pitch. Look, we want to pass more. Look at what we have at quarterback. Look at what we've done in our history. Here we go. And I think it's going to be well received, and I think they're going to get another tight end or so, and at least one, if not two more wide receivers on top of everything else.
So you think that tight end will be a local guy?
I anticipate it'll be a local guy. What I'm wondering is if they don't get both local guys in Gebert and
Lofton.
Excuse me, Lofton. Yeah, I mean, and they're both going to be, I believe they will both be on campus this weekend. I know Lofton is for sure. I don't know that we have Gebert confirmed as a visitor, but he's been on campus several times already. He's taken, visits. They've both taken visits elsewhere, but I think they both have a lot of interest in what Nebraska is doing, and they're both receiving the same pitch. You know, be a specialty tight end, be our next Thomas Fedoni. And I think that's certainly a pitch that they're receptive to. And, oh, by the way, if you go down the visit list for 2026 and 2027, Nebraska's got a bunch of tight ends coming in, including a guy from California that might be the best tight end of the whole bunch of the 2027 that is at Matter Day, that has offers from every big-name program you've ever heard of. So tight end is a position that they are certainly going to recruit heavily, I think in large part because they can always move those guys. Like a tight end can become a defensive end. He could become an outside linebacker. In some cases, some of the guys they took last year, I think, are going to ultimately slide in as potential offensive linemen. And so I think they view that as a movable position with good athletic skill sets. And so they don't mind collecting tight ends, just like they don't mind collecting linebackers and safeties.
Not named Dylan Raiola, and we know some of this class is still not on campus just yet, but who are you most intrigued and excited to see tomorrow in a little bit more extended action from that class?
Yeah, give me all the Ja'Cory Barney you can. I mean, that's a guy that he was number two on my Super Six. He's someone I think that maybe everyone isn't quite aware of what a big win that was recruiting-wise for Garrett McGuire and for Nebraska in July of last year. To pull him out of Miami against Miami, to hold on to him when Arizona, Miami, and all of these schools were really interested late. And he's come here and he's immediately thrived. And I think part of that is because he was a do-everything athlete. He was a guy that had to play quarterback, running back, wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner, defensive back, all to help his high school team, and he wanted to do it because he's just one of those guys. And I think now that he gets to specialize at a position, I think the word electric can get tossed around a lot, but that's basically what people will tell you about Ja'Cory Barney, and that's what he was. He stole the show at multiple recruiting events down in South Beach. I think he'll steal the show tomorrow. I think people will walk away from that. They'll be excited about Raiola, I'm sure. But I think they're also going to be like, oh, man, this Barney guy, they have something there. Because I think he's going to do something.
Let's talk about defensive backs. Do we just give Evan Cooper the benefit of the doubt because he's a really good coach and he's got a deep, deep room, but there's a lot of youngins, whether they be incoming or redshirt freshmen, that they're just going to be fine at defensive back?
I think we give them the benefit of the doubt because we saw how Tommy Hill matured. We saw what Isaac Gifford turned into. We saw where Deshaun Singleton was going. We saw what Omar Brown ended up as. I thought there was a lot of growth in that defensive back room last year. Maybe it was just a special set of circumstances and a special group of players. But to me, it kind of felt like more so guys kind of in that, just like that first couple years of Travis Fisher. I think sometimes a new message can be received really well. Competition can breed and bring the best out of people. You get a new outlook on life with a different position coach, and you get a chance to prove that you're the player that you think you are. And I think he's always going to give guys, their opportunity to prove that they deserve to be on the field. And he likes to play a lot of different players. I think that's a hallmark. A lot of this defensive staff, no one's ever just set on a shelf and never to be heard from again. You always get an opportunity to work your way back in, but sometimes that's got to be through special teams. And then special teams get you on the field on defense. And, the thing that's interesting to me about Cooper is they seem to be very, they've taken a lot of unique, different body types. I don't think there's one singular profile that they have as a defensive back. So I'm wondering if this isn't an effort to try to mix and match with the different styles that you're going to see throughout the Big Ten. And that's just another chess piece on the chessboard for Tony White to play when we get into conference play.
Are you, regardless of what you see tomorrow, and even if it's not Dylan Edwards, if there is a need after spring that remains in the transfer portal, are you, would you feel better if you're able to get at a running back into that room?
Yes. I think it depends on who it is. I mean, obviously, you know, you'd be excited to see what Nebraska could do with a Dylan Edwards. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm sort of the mindset, like, their roster kind of is what it is. And so I'm not anticipating they're going to add anyone. If they were to go out and get a running back, you'd hope that it would be someone that could immediately contribute. But here's the thing. They have guys that can contribute. They don't need contributors. They need a stud. They need someone who can just absolutely unequivocally come in, take that position, take the snaps that go along with it, get the critical reps, finish the game on the field when they have the lead. Like, that's what they need. And so if it's going out there and getting an intriguing guy who's a backup somewhere else, they've done that. If it's going out there and getting a guy who has, you know, some decent yardage throughout his time but has never put together a full season, they've done that. They have that. I just don't know that there's anything they're going to be able to add that, you know, unless it's the Oregon State guy, Damian Martinez, and then, you know, Dylan Edwards. I don't know there's anything that's going to make me think, okay, you've really added to your room. There's a chance you could add an interesting piece, but that whole running back room is just pieces. I think they need the puzzle.
Hey, so stick with him, because he has let it be known that Nebraska has reached out to him, and there's, you know, it's on his list of many suitors. His previous recruitment by Nebraska was Scott Frost, so I know he was here for the Ohio State game as a sophomore junior. He was here for junior day because I saw him. I know he came back after that, so he was here three different times, but that was with a completely different staff. And then at the end, Nebraska really wasn't in the mix when he went to Notre Dame and then ended up at Colorado. What do you believe in the interest of, from Nebraska's standpoint, in him? And is this a realistic possibility that we could start to go down a path?
I think Nebraska interests Dylan Edwards because I know from just conversations and his own words, he's very intrigued by NIL. This is a guy who started his own clothing line when he was in high school to try to capitalize on NIL stuff. This is a guy that, you know, who always wanted to have the NIL conversation when he was on campuses for different visits. I think he turned off some Kansas State fans and their coaches a little bit with sort of how he reacted and responded to some stuff NIL-wise. And you look at Nebraska, and they have the opportunity to be an NIL juggernaut. So I think that's where some of that interest is. And then, of course, you know, they have an upward trajectory, and I'm sure he sees that, and it's not far from where he's originally from in Kansas. I don't know that I look at Nebraska as a favorite here, but I think the interest from him extends both to what Nebraska can provide on the field and off. And then I think the interest in Nebraska is pretty obvious. He can be an electric playmaker, and they're always interested in playmakers. But I don't know that they have to go out and get him. I would love to see it, but I don't know that I would categorize it as any sort of massive miss if they don't. I just don't know that timing and everything is that strong of a fit at this moment. Because a lot of it to me, I mean, we've heard Matt Rhule say it. He worries about the guys that are on his team. He worries about the guys that are there. He's focused on the people in those rooms. And I think they don't want to get in this notion of like, okay, in the spring, we're just going to go get these guys who never went through spring with us. Think about how he talks about all of these players when they enter in winter conditioning and they don't know how the Nebraska way is and they don't do it the way that Nebraska wants to and they have to assimilate to that. Imagine that over the summer, and then, oh, by the way, you're going to go play meaningful games. Like, I just don't know that that's the thing Matt Rhule really wants to get into.
All right, we'll get you out here on this quickly here. Give me a really, really obscure name that you think will be mentioned tomorrow. He doesn't have to be mentioned in the fall, but will be mentioned tomorrow.
Oh, man, my mind is blank.
What number does he wear?
I don't know that I have anything. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't have anything more obscure than throwing, you know, Maurice Mazzucca out there, and he's their new short.
Hey, that was your guy. That's a good one.
Hey, Shave, that's not a bad mention. I'm very curious to see. I just want to see him because we've seen him. I mean, he got a cup of coffee last year. Like, he looks the part, you know, and you're like, man, is that guy? Who is that guy? I'm kind of intrigued to see him tomorrow. No, that's a good suggestion.
All right, I feel like you wanted something even deeper, like a Kyle Kusan. That's what I thought.
That's kind of what I was looking for, but I put you on the spot, and you know, you got a kid that's going to be crying here in a little bit, so I apologize.
Yeah, my brain is mush. I'm not going to lie. Like I don't have, like I'm you know, leaving everything out on the court today right now.
No Luke Longvall in this one.
There's someone's got to be the fourth string quarterback.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Enjoy your afternoon hanging out with Purple Daily Podcast up there on Score North as they break down JJ.
Yeah, they're going to be a lot more excited than I am. I know that.
Thanks, Schaefer. We'll see you tomorrow. And so Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7. Also, Dawson Merritt is on campus on an official 4-star linebacker. He's from Blue Valley Northwest. Works out at the Chiefs practice facility.
Oh,
there's a flex.
But I'm looking across the on threes and the 24/7s.
Does he reside in the home of the College World Series Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's from Overland Park.
Right. Then again, if he goes to Blue Valley Northwest, it's no surprise he's working out at the Chiefs practice facility.
Top 100 guy. I mean, he's one of the top 10 linebackers in the country. Everybody has a crystal ball for Alabama, for him. Whew. Alabama goes into Kansas City.
Yeah, they go everywhere. I mean, if you're talented, they'll find you.
Hey, I mean, Alabama's, even with Saban, they hung out in the Midwest. But he'll be on campus tomorrow. He changed his schedule to have an official visit. So Nebraska, at least, I don't think he's messing with Nebraska. So
that'll mean something.
I got to put on a show tomorrow. So feature linebackers.
just all kinds of creativity. Get them involved in the offense if you can, too. Be a lot of fun.
All right. Matt Verzal will join us next. Lots to discuss with him. You guys can break down the Bears and what's next, and
I don't think he's going to be as excited. Like, he might be excited about number
where
nine.
Where on Michigan Avenue will you stand for the parade?
I want to know his thoughts on the stadium too.
He doesn't strike me as a stadium guy, but yeah. That's a good question.
Let's go.
He's an outdoor guy. All these, yeah. I heard on the After Hours that every stadium in the NFL by 2035 will be a dome.
Not Green Bay.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Might want to tell that to those guys.
Green Bay is laughing at Chicago doing this now because they're like, okay, now we're the only ones. They'll take pride in that. Yeah, they won't. And they got Titletown built up.
To them.
They're never doming that thing.
The sports schedule allows.
That's right.
America getting soft. Verz is next on 1620 The Zone.